Welcome to Soul in the City, honest conversations that activate, awaken, and inspire. I'm your host, Catherine Gillies, life and success coach, conscious consultant, and soul purpose guide. I'm really excited that you're here with me. Welcome. Hi, my loves. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for waiting weeks until the Aries season podcast has come out. You guys will be listening to it in Taurus season, although I want you to know that time is not linear. And right now I am actually posting it in Aries season. Right now the sun is sitting at 29 degrees Aries and 55 minutes, so just under 2 hours until the sun moves into Taurus. So I'm getting this in right at the end of Aries season. And the 29th degree of any sign in astrology is known as the critical degree or the anaretic degree, which is like a degree of fate. So if you're at the beginning of a sign, say at like 0 degrees, that's really someone who's taking the initial steps. So that's the beginning of the road ahead. And that's like a process of envisioning and discovering and creating. And then as you move through the sign and you get to the end, you know, right now we're at the biggest culmination point. It's 29 degrees. So we sense this kind of culmination and we sense a new journey ahead. And so I think it's kind of cool that I'm putting this out at the 29th degree of Aries, at the very last minute of Aries, because it's like the bigger the better. Let's do this, you know. And I also appreciate that you guys hung in there with me, and because really what's gone on is that ever since the new moon in Aries on the 24th of March, I felt this real call to go inward and to just be and not do and not push myself and not like be having to create all this content and doing all these things and needing a moment. You know, there's been so much corona hysteria and realness that's going on in the world. And during this time, it's so important for us to be tuning into our intuition and going inward and feeling into what's right for us and what we need to process in our own emotions and energetic fields. So for a couple of weeks there, I just really felt the call to go inward and I needed just some time. And that's what it's about. This is not about pushing, even though, and it's so funny because Aries, the new moon in Aries, that was the beginning of the new astrological year. Aries season is usually such a do it kind of vibe, but I just haven't felt that this season. So I just wanted to let you guys know a little backstory there as to why this may be coming on the last day of Aries and you'll be listening to it in Taurus. But guys, time is not linear. We are here. We are here right now. And I hope you're staying safe with everything that's going on. And I also just wanted to say that I just want to say thank you for being here and the views. I just checked the analytics and we've already hit 600 listens, which I was stoked about. We're only 3 episodes in. My first initial goal was to hit 1,000 listens. So that's our next goal. Let's hit 1,000. And I just want to say I'm so appreciate and love you guys being here on this journey with me. And I love your DMs that you send me. And if you're not following us yet on Instagram at Soul in the City Podcast, come over and let me know what you get out of these episodes. Send me a DM. I want to hear from you. I want to hear feedback. And yeah, it means a lot to me. So I just wanted to, before I introduce the guest for episode 4, I just wanted to, yeah, check in with you guys and say hey. And I hope you're all doing really well. So for our Aries season guest, I'm actually speaking with Reese Evans from Yes Supply. Reese is a master manifestation and abundance coach. She's the creator of the Yes Supply method, and she's on a mission to teach the world the power of their subconscious mind and the universal laws to attract the life you're meant to live. And in this episode, so great catching up with her. She actually is the person who certified me as a life and success coach. And we discuss her journey going from blogger to 7-figure entrepreneur and navigating the up levels of doing so. We talk about manifesting the office that she's in right now, meeting Bob Proctor, cultivating worthiness, and tips for manifesting love. I know so many of you want to hear that. And I also gave Reese a mini astrology reading, which was really, really fun to listen to. So you guys are going to love it. Please do let me know afterwards how you found it, and I will see you on the other side.
Firstly, so excited to have you here. So welcome to Soul in the City.
Thank you. Are you recording?
I'm recording now.
It's like, what are we doing?
No, this okay. Is it. This is what, like, okay. So remember, do you remember when I think I spoke to you guys about it in Canada and I was like, I'm going to do a podcast. Did I tell you guys? Do you remember that?
I remember saying
I'm going to do a Soul in the City podcast and people were like, yeah, do it.
I like the name. The name is amazing.
It's obviously like a play on the Sex and the City.
Yes, I gathered, but soul is much more essential.
That's it. So, I know. So the whole purpose of this was to, I was like, I'm going to get some guests from each zodiac sign. And I had like the first couple planned out. And then I got to air, like I was thinking ahead and I was getting to Aries season and I was just like, I don't know who I'm going to ask to be my Aries season guest. Well, this is the thing, right? So when I first came across you, like I did not take you for an Aries at all. And I would say, yes. And I would say I'm like really quite good at picking people's sun signs. Yeah. And so when I found out that you were an Aries like ages ago, I was like, oh my God, that makes absolute sense. Right. But then I had forgotten because when I just, your energy is so watery and grounded and like, even though you've got such that drive about you, when I think of you, I just think of you as like this sensitive being that's really, I don't know, you're obviously a manifestation queen, but like there's, I kind of see through what's here and I'm like, what's the energy? And you have such a soft energy, even through all of the goal getting, goal setting, all of that. So when you commented on my picture the other day, it like sparked something in my mind because I was like, oh my God, Reese is an Aries. Perfect. Mm-hmm. So that's how it happened.
I love it. I feel like the groundedness comes from all of the mindset work that I did. Because before I think I was just fiery and now I've balanced out. But it's funny because like, yes, I'm very ambitious and I get a lot done, but I don't get a lot done from a masculine place. Like if I don't feel like doing work, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go get a matcha. Like everything that I do is from a very feminine place, I think. And I enjoy what I do the most when it feels like I'm just working on an art project. So I get myself into the place of like, oh yeah, I'm excited to write this post. I'm excited to make this video. And then it feels like I'm just like painting on a canvas. It doesn't feel forced. Anything that does feel forced, I delegate. The thing that I don't like to do is like, oh, what I have to do, like work really hardcore with my accountant on something. So so I think that's probably why I come across really flowy, because I actually get the most done when I let myself be flowy.
I love that. I love that. And you sent me through your birth details. So I did have a quick squeeze at your astrology chart and I want to get into that in a little bit. Cause I'm just like, you actually have a really beautiful list. Have you had your chart done before?
Yeah, actually Gala Darling did my chart a few years ago. And then I've been obsessed with human design lately. So that's a little different, but I'm like all about finding out
I had a quick squeeze, so we'll talk about it in a bit, but I was just like, you have a really beautiful chart that I think you're playing out really well. So we'll touch on that. But
thank you.
Before we get started, how are you feeling today?
I feel really good, actually. So I did my marathon of trainings. You probably saw on Instagram behind the scenes. We did a 7-day, a 14-day, and a 16-day. The 16-day I hired a trainer, but it was, you know, still a marathon. And so also I'm pregnant. So pregnancy makes you very, very tired. So I was very aware of like how I was managing my energy. Usually when I teach, I stand for this training. I just sat the whole time, like just trying to conserve my energy and making sure I'm feeling really good. And then after the training, I've been really just, again, saying energy 1,000 times, but really just focused on my energy. So spending more time in the morning, like journaling, getting back to feeling crystal clear about where I'm going. And it's so funny because, you know, there's all the marketing hacks and the business hacks and blah, blah, blah. Most important thing is energy. Once you have your energy in line, like I've been getting the coolest opportunities, speaking opportunities, people reaching out. And I know it's because my energy is like in the right place right now.
Well, firstly, congrats on pregnancy. That is so exciting. I'm so happy for you. And part of what I like to talk about is love. And I know you've been with your husband for like quite a while.
Yes.
So we'll touch on that too. So if we just back it up, because firstly, I totally agree with everything you're saying. And when we work on our energy channel, we just become magnets, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what you teach as well. So if we just like reel it all back into like the, just to you, if I ask you, who is Reese? What comes to mind?
That is such, you know, it's so funny. It's such an interesting question because I think for a long time, I tried to define myself with words. And I think also in our society, we try to describe ourselves as like, I'm a carpenter. I don't know why that was the first job that came to mind, but I'm a carpenter. I'm a firefighter. I'm a coach. Da, da, da. And what I've realized is like, yes, I'm a coach, but I'm a coach because that's the word that I can tell people that they understand what it is that I do. But the thing that's given me the most peace actually about who is Reese is recognizing that I'm constantly evolving and growing and changing based on the situations I put myself into, based on how much I take a risk and a leap, focused on my desires, based on, I learn so much from my students too. So one of the things that's really helped me is not trying to put myself in a box of like, I am this and I am that, but just allowing however I feel that day to show up. I think like we talked about, I definitely am very creative. I definitely am somebody who wants to make the world a better place by the time I leave. I'm also someone who's like a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. So I feel like there's a reason why we weren't taught hypnosis in school. And there's a reason why, you know, we're taught that money is the root of all evil, so they can control us. So I'm kind of like a cool, calm, collected, like revolutionist in a way. Like I really want to make change while I'm here. So yeah, that feels good to describe myself.
I think it sounds good. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
But I wouldn't just ever say like, oh yeah, I'm a life and success coach. Like, no, like that's like the shortcut, easy way if you're like busy, but that's, we're not doing this on Soul in the City. We're getting real here.
That's right. And also like, that's just people who don't know you, right? So I met Reese because Reese certified me as a life and success coach, as we're talking about that, NLP practitioner, EFT, time techniques, hypnosis. So this is what Reese does as in her Yes Supply company, which by the way, guys, she has built up to over $1 million, this huge company, which is such a feat and amazing. When did you start it? 4 years?
In 2016, I got really serious about it. It was like a blog, and I started at the end of 2015 blogging, but I was like afraid to tell people about it. So I always call 2016 like the real year.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you've built up this huge business over the last 4 years. And I mean, a lot of, what do you think it was? Cause you mentioned that you were quite fiery and I just really don't take that, like that's not the energy I get from you. So did you identify as an Aries growing up? Like did you feel into
No. I didn't really know much about astrology growing up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I knew like a little bit about it growing up, but I really didn't resonate with it because for me, I'm a Cancerian, but I never really felt like that. I was like, oh, I'm too outgoing to be a Cancer because they say everyone, they're just homebodies and don't do anything. So
yeah.
What's your husband's sign?
He's a Gemini.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're supposed to get along really well, Aries and Gemini. And our baby, based on the due date, is supposed to be a Leo. So apparently Leos get along really good with Aries and Geminis too. So very meant to be. But I totally get you. I used to see, you know, the horoscopes that pop up in the newspaper or magazines. And I would just be like, oh, shocking. Like I'm about to have a new experience. Like, oh my God, like there's no way I would have, like, it just seemed so general. And then when I actually had someone do my chart, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. Right. And also now human design, I'm like, oh, okay. Like this really makes sense. But
your
newspaper horoscopes did not resonate at all.
Cause you're a manifestor, right? In human design.
Yeah.
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 So
which makes so much sense, and it gave me so much freedom. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, I'm allowed to start a bunch of things and have support finishing them rather than feeling guilty about not finishing them or whatever.
Yes. So when I think of Aries, I really just like the Nike, you know, the Nike slogan, just do it, just comes into my mind. When I think of Aries people, they're really people who are fearless and are able to take the leap and be brave. They're the first sign of the zodiac. So it's kind of like when it's interesting when you look around and you see who's really going after their dreams. A lot of them are Aries, like people who have really accomplished something. They're the people who can dive in and not be scared. So I could take a lot out of an Aries book because there's so much that holds us back. And it's interesting because you're an Aries, so you've gone for something and you're also really involved in those subconscious blocks and what's stopping us in our mindset from moving forward. So did you always have that Aries drive? Like, did you always have that fearlessness, that bravery? Is that something that you overcame, or like where were you at like when you were a bit younger?
Yeah. So when I was younger, I think I always had the desire to be like this, but I think that I had so many paradigms of like, especially living in an abusive household for so long, I had so many paradigms of like, well, if I speak up, I'm going to get yelled at, or I'm going to get in trouble. Da, da, da. So I think it was always inside of me, but then, you know, a lot of the beliefs and everything that I grew up with made me not express that. And so it's so funny because there's that saying for becoming successful, like fake it until you make it or whatever. But it's actually, for me, I released, you know, play small, be shy, be humble, don't take up space. When I released that, that was me being the real me. Like now somebody who speaks her opinion and does what she wants to do and you know, is just fearless and follows her heart. That's the real me. So, yeah, it was always inside of me. It was just waiting for permission to come out.
And how old were you when you kind of got into the law of attraction type of stuff? Was that your entry point into spiritual? Like, what was your entry point into spirituality? Because I know you're a massive Bob Proctor fan, and I love him as well. Like he was like one of my entry points way back when. Like I have this affectionate name for him. I just call him Bobbo. Like I just think he's so beautiful.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I actually literally just got off a coaching call with him because I'm in his like inner circle thing. I like did all the investments that you could possibly do with them. But so I saw The Secret when I was a teenager, and back then I didn't even realize it was spiritual. Like I was like, oh, you just like, I remember watching it and feeling skeptical, but at the same time watching it and be like, but I've seen that happen. Like when I was a little girl, I would always win the school raffles. Like they would do like three raffles in a row and I'd win all three, and people would be like, how are you doing that? And I'd be like, I don't know, I guess I'm lucky. When I think back, I actually believed so hard that I was gonna win, and I expected it, that I just won. So when I watched The Secret, I was like, well, all you pretty much have to do is like be positive and happy and then things show up. So it wouldn't hurt to try. And I started manifesting crazy things. And then after a couple of years, I think I just forgot about it. So I came to this point where I realized I wanted to build this crazy thing called Yes Supply and become a leader. And I don't know, somehow I made the connection that if I wanted to become a better leader, I had to become a better communicator. So I Googled great speakers, and I think I was watching a speech from Jim Rohn, and then Bob Proctor showed up in the sidebar, and I started watching a Bob Proctor thing. At first, just to pick up on his speaking tips, not even realizing it was the same guy from The Secret that I watched like a decade before. And then after listening to him, I was like, oh, he kind of knows what he's talking about. And I started binging all of the stuff. So I do think Bob Proctor brought me back into spirituality. And then from there, you know, I'm Reiki attuned now. I'm actually a Reiki master now. You know, have bought a ton of courses and done different trainings and read a bunch of books on it. But yeah, he was like my gateway drug back into spirituality.
I love that. And you mentioned that now you're in his inner circle.
Yes.
How's that?
Good. It's really, really good. So I had just gone through so much of his programs and videos and sessions and everything like that. I just knew that I wanted more. I had this intuition that I wanted more. So with the inner circle, like
essentially you study what he's studying, and he studies through repetition. So you're actually studying a lot. Like, I have one right here. This is from Thomas Troward. So I was like reading it, writing a whole bunch of notes, and he just goes deeper into all of the things that he talks about, like on YouTube and his seminars and everything like that. And it just gets you to think about it even deeper. Cause I think sometimes people hear what he's saying, but they're not actually really like listening. It's not actually like, oh yeah, 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 whatever you think, you create. And then now let me go worry about the 50,000 things that are happening in my life. And it's like, it's actually drilling it in that you have to be that person, focus on those thoughts, and that's what shows up. So I'm loving it, and I just love the energy. So,
Love me some Bobbo. Like, I actually have this microphone sitting on a copy of Think and Grow Rich, and he's
like, oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing for your subconscious mind to just look at every day, like to see the words Think and Grow Rich, right?
Yeah. So Bob Proctor was the one that introduced me to that book many, many moons ago. Just love him.
Yeah.
He's got the most beautiful energy. I don't know.
He really does. He just has a good, kind energy. He just wants to change the world. And he's 85 years old. He's not going to stop.
Such a legend. I absolutely love
him.
So you are just like so great at manifesting things, because I've heard some stories. One of them being, I would love you to share your office. So right now you're sitting in your beautiful office in Toronto, Canada. I can see it. It's all bright and white and beautiful and plants. And I've been there personally. But like, can we just talk about, you know, you said you were really good at like winning the raffles at school and just having positive thinking, that then that distinct belief and the belief and then the surrendering and just expecting and knowing it's coming to you. And so like, I'm guessing that was as when you were younger, and that probably just continued on. Actually, I have a really good friend I'm thinking of who is not into all of this spiritual stuff. But when I look at her, I'm like, she doesn't even know it, but she's a walking law of attraction person. She just has this distinct belief and inner strength and knowing that like, she's so positive that whatever she puts her mind to, it's going to happen. And it's usually like wild out there things, and everyone else is like, calm down. Like, I don't think that's going to happen, but then she does it. And you're just like, how did she make that happen? And so I think for you, like, I want to know some of the like coolest, amazing manifestation stories, that like maybe the top one or two, like one of them being your office, which I think is amazing, that story. So yeah,
let's touch. Okay. I'll talk about that, the office, and then I'll talk about when I met Bob Proctor in person, because that was a really cool manifestation story too. Amit. Ties into everything we're talking about. So speaking on your friend, that's such a perfect example for all of us to remember that we were born with a God-given right to manifest. Like, we were born to feel abundant and be abundant and have whatever it is that we want. That's why we were put on this physical plane. And so if you love manifestation and you love spiritual laws and you love the subconscious mind, study it. That's what I do. I study and want to know every little nitty gritty detail and scientific fact because I'm obsessed with it. But you don't actually need to know everything about manifestation in order to manifest, because we are innate manifestors. It's just in our nature. We are all manifesting every single day, and we're manifesting what we think about. So we have to remember to focus on what it is that we want and allow what it is that we want and feel good about what it is that we want. So, story about my office. So a few years ago, I worked at a tech company, and I live a little bit, where do I live? A little bit west of this office, and the tech company I worked at is a little bit east, and I could have gotten there faster by taking another street or by taking the streetcar, but I would always intentionally walk down the street just so I could see this house. So it's a beautiful little house on the corner of Wellington and Tecumseh in Canada. Beautiful little white house with black shutters and green vines all down one side wall, and black flags with the logo of the companies who are working in there. And every single time I would walk by this house, I just felt this amazing high vibe energy. I honestly think that this is the most high vibe building in Toronto that I've ever seen. And I would always just think to myself, like, wow, it would be so great to work there. Or like, maybe one day if Yes Supply like gets big, like how cool would it be if my office was there? Like, not knowing that it was possible. Obviously, like, this is one building in what, like, I don't even know, like a million offices that are in you know, the area that I'm in. And yeah, I would just walk down the street and it just felt good. Like, this place felt good. And it's so funny because my dream car was a Mercedes G-Wagon. And on this street, somebody would always park a black Mercedes G-Wagon. And so walking down here was my daily reminder, like, my manifestations are coming true. All the things that I want are coming into my energy field. Like, I'm seeing them, hearing them, feeling them, like, they're there. All they have to do is just be mine. And the important thing to remember too, is I would get a lot of joy out of seeing them, right? If we're looking at someone who has something that we want, we can't be like, oh, that person has it. We have to feel joy when we saw it. So I felt joy for these little reminders. And then, you know, put it out there. Didn't really think too much of it. A few years later, Yes Supply is a thing. Have coaching clients, growing my business, started doing live events for the certification program that you were in. And I had this thought, I was at home and I had this thought, I think I'm ready to look for an office. And so I went on Kijiji, which is essentially like Craigslist in Canada. And I looked up office space Toronto, and this place had been listed 28 minutes before I started searching. And it's so funny because later I talked to the landlord and she said specifically, we were looking for people who had the right energy to come into this space. So like, it's so funny how everything came together. So yeah, 28 minutes earlier. And I was like, I am not letting this space go. I was going to meet a new employee and I actually was late to go meet her because I drove by here, stopped out front, put my four ways on, even though the parking officers are like around all the time giving tickets, marched in. And I was like, I'm here to see the space. And the lady who worked there looked surprised because like, I didn't have an appointment or anything, but I was like, this is a sign. The universe has literally put this opportunity in my lap. Nobody else is getting this space. And yeah, so I did a walkthrough, talked to the landlord. She said she loved our energy. And here we are. It's been almost a year. We're loving the space. I'm so excited to, you know, keep doing more events and bringing more people in. And people love the space too. Like, they feel the energy in here from, you know, all the healing that happens here, the crystals, the plants. Like, it's like my little oasis, my mindset oasis.
It's so epic, that story, I think, because from like years were passed, right, between the tech company days, yes, and you manifesting that. And it's like, yes, that vision that you held and you kind of kept walking by it, and it would probably like activate something in you, that feeling of like, oh, one day that.
Totally.
Yeah, I just think it's so amazing. And I actually think that we were the first in October. That was your first round doing it in the new office, wasn't it? I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Like, 'cause you actually got your flag, I think, while we were there, your sign out the front.
Oh yeah. Either when you were there, or maybe even like a few, was it when you were there? Was it a few days later? A few days
before? Been, yeah.
But yeah, it was around the time. Yeah. So it's so funny, 'cause when I see the sign, when I see the flag outside the building, it's such a reminder and an affirmation to me of like, the universe we live in really is a hologram. Like, I feel like I visualized it so hard, you know, a projector, how it's like, you see the light kind of going through onto the screen. I feel like I focused on that picture so hard that I literally projected it from my brain and eyeballs onto the side of the building. Every time I see the flag, it's such a trip out for me. And it just reminds us how powerful our minds are. 'Cause it's like, I didn't do this because I'm special or smarter than anyone or a better manifester or anything like that. It's just because I focused so much on what I wanted that I didn't allow any space in my consciousness for anything else to occur. And same thing with when I met Bob Proctor. So I signed up for my first Bob Proctor conference in LA. I bought the book, You're Born Rich. And I was like, I'm going to get this signed by Bob Proctor. And I held on to the vision that I'm going to have a conversation with Bob Proctor and I'm going to get this signed. And so, you know, I go to the conference. It's amazing. I'm like bawling the whole time, like just having such a great time, met great people. And there's literally no way to talk to Bob the whole weekend. There's Q&A. So I got the VIP ticket. So it's actually so funny. There was a Q&A and the Q&A was supposed to be done. And then there was like, we have one more question, and Bob picked someone else and his assistant pointed at me. But then Bob answered the other lady's question. I was like, oh, I'm not gonna get my question answered. But then his assistant was like, oh, well, Bob, when you pointed at her, I pointed at her. So I got to ask my question. Bob gave me the most amazing answer, gave me access to a free program, and then actually walked over and gave me a hug, which is like weird. Like, not weird, but it's like, he doesn't just like walk around giving hugs all day. So there was something about our energy. Actually, fun fact, Bob Proctor is also a 4-6 manifester. I don't know his time of birth, but when I looked up his birthday, it said he's a 4-6 manifester, which is the exact same as me. So funny. So maybe we're on the same vibe. But anyway, I was like, I need to get this book signed. I even brought the book to the Q&A. It didn't happen. And I was like, I know it's happening. I don't know when it's happening, but I know it's happening. Whole weekend went by, seminar is done, everyone's gone home. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, I was supposed to meet him. I was supposed to have a conversation and I was supposed to get my book signed. So I was meeting up with a few clients and students in the Yes Supply Method in LA. We went out for lunch at Cafe Gratitude. And then when I came back to the hotel, I just happened to walk into the cafe. And before the whole weekend, this cafe had been full to the brim of people lining up to get coffee. And when I walked in, it was empty, except for one white-haired man standing at the counter. And I saw the back of his head and I was like, is that him? Is that him? Is that him? He turns around and it's him. And you know what I said? I said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew this would happen. And he started laughing because obviously he's teaching manifestation. He knew that, you know, I put it out into the universe. And so we had our conversation. He was having lunch with someone, so I didn't want to interrupt, but I said, I'm going to be working out in the lobby if you want to come by and chat after. So he came by, sat down with me. He had a great, like, probably 10-minute conversation, gave me some great advice. And then I asked him if he could sign my book, and he signed my book.
Oh my God.
And when we're manifesting, sometimes it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And it's in those times where it doesn't look like it's going to happen that you actually have to hold on to the faith.
It's like the darkness before the dawn. It's like, it is coming. Oh my God. That is epic. That is so amazing. And like with all those people wanting that from him in that environment, it's like the universe was like, no, you're going to get a special moment with Bobo.
Yeah. The next day, like VIP treatment. So funny.
That's so epic. When was this?
That was beginning of 2019.
Oh, what a like nice like kickstart to 2019 as well for you.
It was such a good seminar. It was the Art of Goal Creation, and they haven't run that seminar since. Now they keep doing paradigm shifts, but if they do that one again, I would 100% go back because it was so good.
Oh, amazing. That's so epic. So you're kind of like, you're really into all this stuff. Is your husband into this stuff as well?
It's so funny because at first he wasn't. Like at first he'd be like, why are you watching this old man on YouTube? And you know, when I first started, I was listening to a lot of Tony Robbins because I didn't have anyone in my life who was an entrepreneur, but I knew your reflection of the five people who you spend the most time with. So I would just always have them in my ear, like just drilling into my subconscious mind. So at first he was like, what, like, why are you listening to this guy with a deep voice and who's this old dude and da da da? He didn't get it. But over time, over like, especially like seeing the type of results that I was getting and you know, just how much more positive I was able to be and everything like that, he started to pay attention. And so now he's actually a master practitioner of NLP as well. And he's obsessed and he uses it in his everyday life. He helps people learn how to trade and he teaches it to the students in his membership and they're getting amazing results from it. So if anyone's listening and you have a partner that doesn't get it, I don't think you'll ever change your partner by forcing them to change. Or like, I think if I tried to push them and was like, just read these books, like that never would have worked. But believe in what you believe in so much that you become such an example of it that everyone around you notices like, well, it must be working. It's working for her. And then they're drawn to it on their own. And with anything, when you're coaching a client, they have to make the decision for themselves. If you're helping a friend, they have to make the decision for themselves. So I think by just being the light and being such a great example of, you know, the power of our minds and the power of being on a certain vibration and holding on to the vision of what we want more than complaining, that's actually what inspires other people to do the same.
Yeah, I was going, when you were saying all of that, I was really just thinking of that saying, be the lighthouse, be the light for other people, because
totally.
Yeah, you can't force someone. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Exactly.
So I kind of wonder, when you were beginning this kind of journey into entrepreneurship and you're just there, you're in Toronto with all your friends. So you're younger and, you know, you have this vision of starting this company and like a vision of what you want for your life. And then you're there with your partner and your friends are all around. And you said you didn't have entrepreneur friends. So like, how did you, you know, because comparison to other people that have already made it in the business is a real thing. So like, you know, you're really established and people right now would be looking at you like, oh my God, she's so far ahead. Like, you know, how can I do all of the things that she does? But it's like, what do you think it was for you that like allowed you to kind of kickstart your entrepreneurship journey? Like the belief, obviously, and the vision. But when everyone around you is not living that life or not, it doesn't understand online business, because like that's a very real thing, because we're just normal humans, mm-hmm. with normal lives, with normal friends, and a lot of, you know, we gain these online friends that are living that same life, or you know, get it. But I mean, I definitely have friends who do not understand online business whatsoever. So like, yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Like, what, how did you kind of keep on going when maybe you weren't seeing the results, and maybe people around you were like, I feel as if you're putting in a lot of effort and nothing's coming back initially, or you know, like that weird time frame in the beginning?
For sure. So one thing that you just mentioned was comparison, and I actually, it's so funny because this, it can be a blessing and a curse. When I first started, I didn't know what coaching was. So I wasn't comparing myself to other coaches because I didn't know that they exist. So it's a blessing because I didn't have to deal with comparison or getting in my own way or saying, what's the point? I'll never be like blah, 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 blah. But then at the same time, I feel like it took me a little while to get going because I didn't know what coaching was. I was figuring it all out. So I think that really helped me. But in terms of no one around me getting it and my results not showing up and everything like that, what helped me the most is being really, really stubborn about letting my inside world affect my outside world. So I played with my imagination. Like I would, in my head, I was already a world-renowned speaker. In my head, I was already the greatest blog in the world or whatever, because that's like, Yes Supply for me was a creative outlet. When I started too, I wasn't focusing on like, I just have to make X amount of money. I was really, really, really creating what I wish existed. I was creating what I needed and wasn't out there. Like I was writing the articles that I needed to read. Like I was making the advice that I needed somebody to give me. And so I think that that's what kept me going, because I wasn't necessarily going for a certain goal or a certain level of achievement or a certain accolade. I actually kind of didn't even want people in my life to know about it. Like I was afraid if my job found out about it, I would actually get fired, which they found out about it and they were super cool about it. But it also goes back, how they found out about it is I was featured in the Globe and Mail. And there's that saying of like, let your work speak for itself. Like I was just empowering people and writing what I wanted to write and taking the best pictures I could take and just sharing my heart. And I think it really just started to speak for itself and it became bigger than me. But yeah, Yes Supply was my safe space. So even if people didn't get it, I just didn't share it with the people that didn't get it. And I wasn't trying to convince anyone of anything. If somebody didn't like it or didn't want it or thought it was lame, okay, then go read another book or go watch another YouTube or something like that. Like I wasn't creating it for the haters or the naysayers, the people didn't understand. I was creating it because I needed it. And I was creating it because I imagined that there was other people who had gone through abusive relationships or stuck in shitty jobs who just wanted a spark of hope. And so that's what I wanted to create.
Mm, that's so beautiful. And you have created that. You have led the way for so many people, and it's really admirable. So like, well done you. And I hope every day that you like pat yourself on the back, right? Do you kind of like have moments where you come back and you're like, whoa, I created this?
I do. But you know what's funny? So I just did that 5-day series you probably saw on like slaying your next level devil, because, you know, you think like, oh, well, once I make $1 million, everything's going to be great. Like, there's going to be confetti falling from the sky and everything's going to be easy. And people are going to run up to the street and kiss me on the cheek because they just like love me so much. And, well, that would be creepy, but anyway, but no, you know, it's not the case, because we grow up in our safe little paradigm of what we're used to. And so as I get to new levels, there's new things to fear. Like, I catch myself, people are congratulating me on, like, you know, the car that I drive, or like my husband and I are buying a house, and I'm catching myself actually downplaying it, because there are certain things that I'm not, like, I didn't do this to have better things than other people to like to compare or whatever. It's because these things were just part of my dream life. Like, I kind of did them all for me. So sometimes it's like integrating my dream life of Yesify into my real life of the people that I love. There's still like that friction and some, you know, like, it's, I have great people in my life, so it's nothing that they're saying to me. It's more me in my own head, like, oh my gosh. Or, and also too, sometimes my clients think like I have all my shit together and I wake up and everything's rainbows. And it's so funny, because last week I woke up, especially after the training, I had such a beautiful time in the training and people had such great transformations. But after 36 days of, you know, just teaching, I had to kind of regain my balance. And so I actually woke up one morning like crying and just being like confused and like, what am I doing? Is this even good enough? Like, getting testimonials and not even feeling like worthy of the testimonials and stuff, because like I did something from my heart that felt so good. And then I'm like, do I fit here? Like, do I deserve the good things that are coming from this in a way? And so actually right at that moment, the universe, I think, has really been like, okay, Reese, like, get back on track. Like, you're doing good. You're doing fine. Cause it's sending me lots of little positive moments. So like, I was like, woke up crying. And then somebody voice noted me, one of the girls in the program who, like, you know, started from nothing and now she's getting all these clients and loving her life. She voice noted me this really beautiful testimonial. And then I started like really crying, but like crying in a good way. Like, okay, yes, this is why I'm doing it. And I realized, like, it's definitely not all sunshine and rainbows. There's definitely hard times, up times. And then there's definitely times where everything is fine. And then you're like, why am I making myself crazy when everything in the outside world is fine? And then that reminds me, and one of the things I reminded myself was to go back to, like, this isn't even about me. Like, I started Yes Supply because it was a purpose that was bigger than me. And I'm just like, I was the one who decided to do it. I'm sure the universe gave the same idea or gave a similar idea to tons of different people, but so many people are like, oh, who am I? Or da da da. And guess what? I still ask, who am I to do this? But then I just do it anyway because I know what a positive impact it's making in other people's lives.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And it's so true. Sorry, did you say 36 days straight?
Yes. I actually haven't done the exact math, but it was January 12th to February 19th. So whatever that is, around 30 something.
That is mind-blowing.
It was 4 or 5 days off. Yeah. But you know what's so funny too? So we teach this in our trainer's training. This is the training if you want to certify other people. We teach you how to tap into infinite source. So when I'm at the front of the room, I'm actually not tired. It's when I go home, I feel tired, or after I feel tired. But like when you're up at the front of the room, you channel. It's the same as like when you press live on a live stream, you're like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And then you start talking and like God comes through you and you're like, I didn't even know that I knew that. And then everyone's like, oh my God, I need to hear that today. Like, I think one of the things that has helped me the most when I'm feeling nervous or scared, like there's times where before I click the live button, I feel scared or whatever. But I remember that there's something that's ready to channel through me, and whatever's brought me to this moment is going to bring me through this moment. And so I just show up being the channel. But yeah, 36 days pregnant, which makes you very tired.
I mean, that is some Aries gun there. That is just, yeah, like, I'm getting this done. I'm going to do, yeah, it. Yeah, like a lot of other people would be like, oh, I'm so tired, I just can't today. But there's something that keeps you going, you know. Yes, you can tap into that infinite energy, which is incredible, but still you're a human, and like that's like a long time to be on a run, you know what I mean? So oh, of course, sure, at the end you're probably like, oh, breathing out after all of those people. There's so many people in this, you know, in your office. That's a lot of energy fields that are merging together.
Yeah.
And especially like you.
I'm such an empath. I was such an empath, so I absorb everything, but I do my cord cutting. I do smudging. I'm, you know, just releasing all of the things that are other people's. I'm wearing my selenite today. Like I'm using, I don't know if you can see it, but yeah, I use my tools. The same tools I teach, I use them because I know that if I wasn't cutting my cords and clearing my energy and grounding myself, it would be a very different Reese up at the front of the room.
You would just be like so, so exhausted at that point.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, cool. So thank you for sharing all that. That's amazing. And everything you're saying, I'm kind of, because I had a quick look at your astro chart, like before we jumped on. So it's like when you're saying things, I'm thinking as to how that would like play out in your astrology chart and how you fall, like you're really embodying your chart. Because I guess essentially with astrology, it's like this is the blueprint of the sky at the moment you were born. So it's kind of like we can play out the higher aspects or the lower aspects. And really our soul's journey is to kind of like step into our chart. And so when I look at your chart, it's like, I really do think that you are playing the higher aspects out of it. Like you're really kind of like juicing it for what it's worth. If that makes sense, like there's so much juice in everyone's chart. It's like who's going to take those messages that you get. You know, like you said, and many people could have had the concept for your supply, but you're the one that actually followed through and did the thing. And I totally, that's just this concept of like collective conscious and like who's, you know, acting on those sparks of inspiration that are coming, because they're constant. Like we feel as if we're often going to run out of inspiration, especially if you're creating stuff online. It's like, And I fall into that trap all the time. I'm like, oh, today, like either, oh, I don't feel like it. You know, I'm a Cancer, ruled by the moon, like we were talking about earlier. It's like, oh, I woke up and I just don't feel like creating content today. So I'm definitely falling into that category for sure. And then there's like people like you who are super consistent at creating things. And I think for a lot of people, we need to realize is that inspiration is around us constantly. And kind of tapping back into what you were saying about the feminine energy, sometimes when we're stuck in that masculine, like I must do my to-do list, I must tick X, Y, and Z off today, we can feel like our inspiration can sometimes feel stunted. And it's when we step away and when we go for a walk on the beach and just chill out, it's like our mind opens and then boom, all the inspiration drops in.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. And I think tapping into our intuition and using our creativity is like a muscle. And so the more you use it, the easier it's going to be for it to flow through you. And, you know, whatever it is that you're wanting to create, not creating with some kind of expectation of like, oh my God, is it perfect enough? Will everyone like it? Like, I know that not everyone's going to like every single thing that I put out, but the person who needs to hear it will. And that's all that really matters. Or if I can't even connect to the person who needs to hear it, I think about like, what did Reese, when she was stuck in her shitty job, crying herself to work every day, need to hear? And write that. And also too, like I said before, you don't have to come up with it all on your own. Like if you're guided to this, the universe wants to use you almost like its paintbrush. So you don't have to do it all on your own. So when I wake up every morning, I do what I like to call checking my voicemails, which essentially I just sit on my couch and I just go quiet for 5 minutes and I just let my mind be clear. And after a few moments, just little ideas. So sometimes it'll be like, oh, Reese, you have to pay this bill. I'm like, oh yeah. But so sometimes it's just like things that I've been lurking in my unconscious that I need to remember to do. But most of the time it's actually like, what if you called this person and asked them to do this? Or if I'm working through a problem, my subconscious mind actually gives me the solution. And the beautiful thing about being a coach, that's why I think being a coach is the best job in the world, is we get to do our own mindset work and work on ourselves and then just share our lessons. Like literally life coach, you just like live your life, aim to live your best life, express yourself the most, and whatever shit you had to go through to do that, you just be like, hey, if you're going through that shit, I also went through that shit. That's how I worked through the shit. So if you want to try it, this is what I did. Like you don't have to be something that you're not. You get to be everything that you are. So I think the less you try to hide it or perfect it, like nothing that I do is perfect. There's spelling mistakes probably still on my sales page. Like there's you know, so many things that I could be doing better, but I don't let myself get bogged down by that. I just remind myself that I'm doing the best. And I really, 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 truly believe that the universe is working through me, not because I'm special, but because I've literally said, like, God, how can I contribute? Like, spirit, universe, source, like, how can you use me for the greatest good of me and for the greatest good of others? And it seems to be working.
It definitely does. And I'm looking at your chart right now. And what's really interesting, the first thing I notice is that, you were born in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So the first thing I notice when I look at your chart is that you and I both have Pisces rising, and we have it at the exact degree, the 24th degree.
Oh, cool. Yes. So we're so connected.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Well, that's someone who is, our ascendant is what we kind of present to the world. So that's probably why I didn't see you as an Aries, like even from like watching you back in the day. It's like, imagine walking into a party and there's all these people who don't know you, right? So like, you know, you're an Aries, but you walk in, the people are going to see the your ascendant, your rising sign. That's kind of like the mask we wear to the world, or like how people perceive us. So Pisces rising is like kind of creative and artistic and dreamy, and like that romantic rose colored glasses that we can sometimes wear as well. And also I think for you, like when I look at you, that is that watery energy. There's this flowiness about you. So that's kind of what I would have been picking up on as well. And you actually have quite a bit of water in your chart. Like if we break down fire, air, earth, and water, you have a fair bit of water, not much fire, actually, only your sun and heaven. So that's interesting. It's because that makes sense to me energetically as to why when I felt into your energy, I just did not pick it at first. So there you go. Also, a couple of cool things about your chart. So you have Venus on the ascendant, which is someone who is visually beautiful, right? So whether or not...
Takes one to know one, Catherine.
But Venus ascendant people are just gorgeous on the outside. Like they lead with their aesthetics in a sense. Like they're often quite beautiful and are recognized as that. So that's really interesting. And it's in the first house. You've got your sun. You're really like on the cusp kind of Aries, like you're early Aries. So your sun's at one. Yeah, your sun's at 1 degrees Aries. So you're right at the beginning of the zodiac, which is kind of like the start of the zodiac. It's like, here I am, everybody. You know, Aries have that like really like kind of that brash inner child energy where they're like, yeah, this is me, everybody, and I can do it. And they're not really thinking. Like Aries is kind of just like the beginning. And so when we go from Aries all around the zodiac, Pisces is the end. So Aries is the first sign. It goes all the way through to Pisces is 12th. And Pisces is like an accumulation of each sign before it. So it's very deep, very spiritual, very, and you actually have your ascendant in Pisces. You've got Venus in Pisces, Mercury in Pisces, your North Node's in Pisces. And
interesting.
In the 12th house, Mercury in the North Node in the 12th house of spirituality and higher connection. So it's all really fascinating to me because you do have such, that's like also a connection to the divine as well. And so you talk so much about like your connection and tapping into your intuition and really like going inward before you're looking outward. And you talk about that, and you've got Mercury in Pisces. So the way you communicate it is in like a romantic, fluid, dreamy way. So even though you're doing the thing, which is the sun in Aries, you're also doing it in a way that isn't like prickly. Sometimes Aries energy can be like a lot for people.
Yeah.
But the way you communicate is really like dreamy and like smooth, you know, it's like this smoothness about it. And you can kind of get people on wherever they are at the journey. I always say with Pisces, it's like, you can swim in the shallows, like there's fish swimming right up, you know, there's coral reefs, or you can go right down into the ocean. It's the subconscious. Like what's underneath. And this is like your rising's Pisces, your North Node's Pisces, which I want to talk about in a minute. And what you talk about, you're literally talking about what's underneath and what's driving us like on the surface, like the lotus with all the mud underneath. So it's like, it's really fascinating to me that this is the work that you do, because you're helping people kind of dig under and like find the beauty in the mud and like be that beautiful lotus on top of the pond as well.
That makes so much sense. And I feel like that's all I'm interested in. Like when I used to work at old jobs and people would be like, what movie did, or like, what did you binge watch this weekend? Or what movie did you see? Or what party? It's like, I cannot talk about the shallow stuff. I'm like, okay, so what's your biggest goal in life? And like, you know, what's your deepest, darkest secret? Like, I just want to fast forward into all of that. So that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Because the 12th house is like all and nothing. It's everything. It's out there. It's our connection. So it's like, there's no frivolous, you know, chat going on here. It's like, I'm bored with that. Like, I want to go deep, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that. And yeah, it's all kind of like, it's all around your ascendant. So your people are really seeing you as this person who can communicate those topics to the rest of the world. Like also you've got Mars in Gemini in the third house. So Mars is that willpower. It's the drive, it's action. And you have that in the third house, which rules Gemini, because it's kind of like technical, but basically Gemini is all about communicating and like writing, whether that's like, you know, video, email, like everything you're doing, you're communicating your message. And you've got Mars there near Jupiter. Jupiter makes everything bigger. So it's like the Mars has that Aries energy of like, yep, I'm just going to do this, you know, like go ahead, forge forward. And it's in your part of your life, which is about communication and connection and like networking and like getting it out there. So you have this big push of Mars there that's going to be like, yeah, I want to talk about these things. I want to connect. I want everybody to know about this, you know? And Jupiter's sitting right by Mars, making all of that kind of drive to do it and communicate bigger and better in a way.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because I'll get a download or get an idea and I'm like, okay, I have to talk about it right now. Like I'll just pull up my phone and do a story, or at least if I like don't feel like talking into a story, I have to type it out. Like I have to just like, I think that's why, like, again, I go back to channeling, because it's just like to me and through me. Like I don't keep it to myself. Like someone's got to know about this.
Yeah, it's like you're getting that divine consciousness falling in with the Mercury and the 12th in Pisces. It's that really strong connection. And then you've got that really drive to get it out there with the Mars in Gemini in the third, you know, hit with Jupiter, which is like, yes, do it. It's like, do it big.
Yeah. It's like a compulsion. It's like, I'm ready to go to bed and I get an idea at like 10:45. I'm like, really? And I'm like, okay. I'm just like, pull out my phone, like type it, then go to bed. Like I have to get it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're absolutely playing that out. You also have, did you know you were born on a full moon?
I think someone told me that, but I haven't really read into it. So what's that about?
You're a full moon baby. So it's all about like bringing, which means the sun, because you're in Aries, which means the full moon means the moon was at the other side of the sky. So the moon was in Libra. So you have moon in Libra. So that's kind of, again, with the beauty, you know, I said you've got Venus on the ascendant, which is all about, firstly, Venus is money, self-worth, love, all of these things. Like they're big, important things to you, you know, like you help people make money. You like nice things and you manifest nice things, and that's absolutely okay. And you actually are, people can look to you to be like, oh, it's okay to have nice things. Sometimes, you know, as we're like manifesting, we're like, oh, I don't deserve that. It's like, no, you're this beacon of light being like, I do, guys, you do deserve that. And you've got, so the moon, your moon, so that's your emotions are in Libra. So Librans are really obviously, they're ruled by Venus as well. So it's kind of like you like a nice aesthetic. So it's like smelling. It's interesting because you said, I saw in your Insta story the other day about the Lalabo, and I think I wrote back and I was like, Tonka is my fave.
Oh, it was Santal. But yes, I'm all about, I get all my one-on-one clients have a Santal something.
that's amazing. Because Libran really loves smelling good as well. It's like important to have like a really, yeah. Like it's ruled by beauty and like Venus and like Venusian things. So it's like, you know, your office is pretty, like it's attractive, like you've got things nice, like Libra likes it nice. So you to basically fill up your emotions, it's like, it's all about tapping into that Venusian energy and like, what can I do to make myself feel like beautiful? Or it doesn't have to be like an external thing, but it could be like, oh, maybe getting a facial is actually going to fill my cup up right now. Or yeah. Venus rules money as well. So it could also be like tapping into, your finances a little bit and like checking in is actually like, oh, okay, cool. Like that's where I'm at today. Like I've made X or whatever. And also just with the moon in Libra, that's someone who's really good at holding space and being diplomatic. Librans are really diplomatic. So when I think of you, I think of you, you know, you're standing at the front and there's all these people in your trainings, like in your office, there's so many different personalities.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And how do you handle that all? Like that's your moon in Libra being like, I can balance this. I can balance the energy and the emotions in the room. And you know how to handle. Some people are really outspoken. Some people are really shy. It's like you kind of, it's this cohesive ability to bring people together and create a sense of equilibrium in the energy of the room as well.
Mm-hmm. I totally feel that. Wow. Everyone needs to get a reading with you. Cause this is like, I feel like every time I do a personality test or get a reading and you're like, if I didn't have this right now, I would need to book a reading with you. This is so beautiful because I think when you know your chart, it gives you permission to just be who you are, right? Because it's like, it's true. I want everything around me to be beautiful. Like we have fresh flowers and crystals and really nice golden trimmed couches here, but it's like I need that to come in and feel inspired and do my best work. If I come in and I'm sitting on a cardboard box, like how am I gonna make other people feel abundant, right? So it's like you're really lining up and saying like, oh yeah, that's why I really do value showing people to have self-worth and make money, because money isn't a bad thing or the root of all evil. It's a tool so you have more choice and more opportunity in your life. And who wouldn't want more choice and more opportunity in your life to buy a really nice fiddle leaf tree if you want to have one in your office, or donate to charities that you believe in, which I also do every single year. So
Yeah, exactly. And with the full moon, because you talk so much about manifestation, the full moons generally are all about, you know, that culmination point in the lunar cycle. So when you're born on a full moon, it's like part of your purpose is really to bring things to culmination. So that it's like, sense. Yeah, it's like you're showing people, you're leading the way on how to manifest. And it's just like you really are being the lighthouse of what's possible for people. You also have... three planets in the 10th house. 10th house is career, and they're all sitting in Capricorn. So it's like that again is kind of like this, the outer planet. So it's not your like inner personality, but it's Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. But they're all up near the midheaven. So they're all sitting close. The midheaven is kind of like your career and reputation and how people view you, right? And so you've got these three outer planets at the top. When I read charts, like, it's not really like, oh, you've got Saturn in the 10th in Capricorn, X, it means X. Like I intuitively, because I'm really intuitive, I pick up on like all this other stuff that's going on as well. Like for you, when I look at your chart, you've got three really strong outer planets that Neptune's really dreamy, Uranus wants to do things differently, and Saturn has the dedication. It's like a taskmaster, right? And they're all sitting together in your 10th house of career. So it's like you want to, Saturn is giving you the discipline to make it happen as well with your Mars drive and that Aries sun, but it's like you have the discipline to make it happen, but also you're doing it in a way that's kind of dreamy to some people with the Neptune influence as well. Like that's what I'm picking up. And also Uranus does things differently. So maybe you're doing things against the grain to what everyone was doing before. Like you said, I didn't know what was going on. I was just creating something. I saw a vision. I made it happen. So that's that real 10th house energy is kind of like, that's that real drive to create a legacy. That's not like day-to-day stuff. That's like, this is big career legacy things going on here.
Yeah. In your chart. That sounds exactly like me. Like I need to do everything differently. Like I'm sure you've seen this too, but it's like you start doing something and then I actually don't typically notice when people copy me. Like I'm not even paying attention to what anyone else is doing, but it's like, as soon as I start to see that other people are doing what I'm doing, I'm like, okay, I'm bored. Like next thing, like I have this like, inner like need to continue to like innovate and see like what's next and how can I grow more and how can I move this forward. So sounds 100% like me.
Yeah. And Uranus was the highest planet in your chart. So when we look at the chart, it's kind of like, what was the highest thing in the sky, which is sitting near your career and reputation. So it's like people are seeing you. Yeah. You're kind of this, I see it as like, this is just my intuitive pickup. It's like, you know, you've created something from nothing, which is amazing. And for you to get from A to B has been a journey, and mm-hmm. you've done it your way. and you haven't followed the normal path to get to where you are. Like, you've trusted in unseen realms, downloads from spirit. You're really like leaning into something that maybe normal society doesn't really, you know, give a lot of worth to. And you're going like, no, no, Uranus is like, I'm doing things differently. It's like, and it's also technology as well. Uranus rules, like, it's Aquarius and the technology, and you're getting your work out there. It's like electric. I see it kind of like this electric energy. So when people are tapped in, it's like, boom, maybe people find you, they don't know how they did, but it's like, there's like a wavelength.
Yeah. 100%. So many people are like, I didn't even know who you are. And then like this thing popped up, or someone shared your thing. And then the next day I bought your stuff. I just felt, I think it really is all about that, putting out that wavelength of like, it's already done, it's already happening. Cause people tell me all the time, I just felt like I needed to be here. I just felt like I needed to sign up. So
yeah,
that makes total sense.
And one of the big things I talk about in readings, is soul purpose, right? So when we're looking to that, we look to the north and south node of the moon, because it's kind of like groups of souls that come in with specific karma. So they come in from, and they're leading their life from their comfort zone, which is the south node of the moon. So your south node is in Virgo, and then we kind of like, we're acting from that space when we come in, because it's like really comfortable. We've had, you know, past lives where we're just like, this is where we were in our past life. And so it's really easy for us. So for you, it's Virgo. That's your south node comfort zone. So that's like perfectionism and like overanalysis and, you know, being critical, self-critical, and any anxiety over making little mistakes. And just like, this is kind of any worrying, over-worrying, kind of like, just needing structure and systems and boundaries. And, you know, it's this kind of very structured feeling. And so that's like a comfort zone. So it's interesting, because when I look at you, I'm like, you've got your shit together. I know you've got a really big business, but you know, just like visually, it's like everything's where it needs to be. And it's like things are coming out on time, and, you know, there's a schedule, and it's like routine, and like, you know, there's that aspect to it. But sometimes with the south node in Virgo, and you've got your north node in Pisces. So we've got this perfectionism and like schedule and routine and what I need to do to make something happen down pat. So your soul's like moving toward, like across the sky toward your north node in Pisces. And so we kind of need to be letting go of any compulsive need for order in our life, and really moving toward surrender and toward the not, which you're living that, like you're so in that. But a lot of people who may be listening who have the same north and south node, they really need to let go of control, that Virgo south node, and move towards, you know, letting go of needing to be right all of the time, and moving towards kind of the not knowing and just surrendering to the universe. Pisces is about like, what's out there. It's kind of like this, the flowy connection with the universe and source and all things. So it's kind of like moving towards compassion from judgment, moving towards focusing on like a spiritual pathway rather than just simply like an earthly grounded pathway, and connecting that, welcoming change. What else do I have here? Yeah. Like freeing the mind, because Virgos can be very in their head. So when you've got this south node, it's like, you want to be moving towards, which you already do, like the meditation and the connection to spirit, and really like living from that place. So I think you're really like in your north node in Pisces as well. And because it's sitting there with your Venus and your Mercury and your rising sign, like that's a big part of your chart. And it's in the 12th house of spirituality as well.
Yeah.
Connection to spirit.
You're so on the ball with that. And it's so funny, because, you know, they say everything's in season. So I think I'm getting better and better and better. Like when I'm in my strong seasons, that's when I'm completely letting go of control. I'm not worrying. I'm not criticizing. I'm like, okay, universe, let's do our thing. I'm going to let myself be supported. But I'll be honest, I think I sway back and forth between the north node and the south node, because there are some times where I get stuck in my head. Like I told you last week, woke up crying. Like, I do get stuck in the self-analysis and the criticism and, is this good enough? Is it perfect enough? Or again, if I don't catch myself in scarcity mode, I do get into, oh my God, I need to control this. I need to make sure it's perfect, but now supply is getting so big, I can't control everything. So that's also a area for growth of being like, Reese, even if you tried, you can't control everything anymore. Like, we get so many emails and DMs and whatever, you can't. So I know that when I'm in my power, I am surrendering. And I think that's why I do go back to meditation. And I share that so much because I know I need that. Like, when I'm making my content, I'm not just making my content. When I'm doing a meditation with you guys in a video, I'm meditating. Like, I use this for me too, right? So, and it's the best. You can do an EFT session on yourself and then just record it and then attract clients by doing that. But it's a work in progress. But good to know that where I'm moving to and where I need to be to continue to grow towards my best self is in surrendering, welcoming the change, and freeing my mind.
Yeah. And really, like, with that Pisces North node, it's like, you know, they really do well with focusing on manifesting a vision, which is literally what you do, right? Like, that is the Pisces North node. It's like empowering yourself to use those practical skills that you'd like have down pat over there in your Virgo South node, and like moving toward just like using the practicalities to create something in maybe the potential, like the potentiality of what's coming. So that's what I mean about you really are living your chart well. And just a point with the North and South node, you know, and I say, you know, as souls, the North and South node, it's about an 18-month period where it's, and it kind of moves like through. So it's like a group of souls that come in with a collective karma, and they move towards their dharma. And these aren't like, this is lifelong lessons. You know, it's difficult to release our South node because we're so used to holding on to that and that control for you with the Virgo. But because you have a lot of other Pisces things and you've got the 12th house energy, like, it's extra important for your particular path as well, to really just be leaning on that. And to be fair, surrendering is one of the hardest things we can do. Like, trust and surrender to the divine plan over the day-to-day Virgo actions that we know we need to take. It's like, no, take a breather, just take a moment and just trust. And such a difficult thing to do for so many people.
Totally. 100%. We'll get there. We'll get there.
You'll get there.
Putting one step forward every day.
So that's just a couple of things I wanted to touch on your chart, because I just think, like, you really are playing it out really well, which is super beautiful. I just want to also ask you, because I know you said it before, I don't know whether it was like at the training or you've said it on your Instagram stories or whatever, but you said you're really good at helping your friends manifest love.
I am. Like, it's so funny because the stuff that I do is what I could talk about all day. I don't know if I could talk about relationships all day, but it just come so easy. I've helped so many people get boyfriends and husbands. It's ridiculous. Like, I think it comes so easy for me. I'm just like, well, duh, just do this and this and that, and it will show up.
So I think, like, love is such a big chunk of our lives, right? So we've got like our career and our vision, and then like our relationships and love. And so there's so many people here who are like, I've written my list, I know what I want. Like, how, so can you just give people who are listening, because there's probably so many people who want to manifest the person for them, like, what are some tips that you have? Because I totally remember that. Obviously, like, I want to know as well, but like, there's so many tips you give. Like, you're always just like, oh, there was a specific one. I can't remember what the details were, but it was specific. Like, this person wanted specific, like, a guy. I can't remember.
Vegan, Indian, into personal development, likes cooking, like, very like, this is one person. And then she manifested. So I mentioned Indian. He literally looks like a human version of Aladdin. He's like the cutest guy ever. So, and she met him on the flight home from one of our trainings.
It's so amazing.
It's wild.
What do you say to people that are trying to manifest love?
Yeah. So there's a few things. How you manifest one thing is how you manifest anything. So if you can think about, like, oh, I'm really good at manifesting money, relate that to relationships. Like, so for me, I'm really good at, like, having an amazing relationship. I've always had great relationships in terms of, like, men. And so I have to remind myself, oh, I have to use that with money, because in my life, money is my learning lesson, or, you know, wealth or whatever is my learning lesson. So when you want to manifest the relationship of your dreams, we have to remember that the universe is going to work with us when it's for the highest good of all. So you can actually manifest one specific person. I manifested one specific person. I manifested back George, but it had to be for the highest good of all. If you're like, I just want them because da, 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 da. I worked on myself and I got myself to the place where I knew that I was going to be the best partner for whoever showed up in my life, right? So remember, and also too, if you're trying to manifest back one person, like your ex or something, it's probably not actually your ex that you want. It's probably just certain characteristics of a person that you want, but you don't, it's probably not that actual person. But anyway, so get really clear on who it is that you would love to attract into your life. So the type of person that you would love to attract into your life. And then think about the version of me who has that type of partner. How do I feel about myself? So before you have the boyfriend who loves you or the girlfriend who loves you, you need to already feel lovable. Like you need to be like, I am so freaking amazing. You're like kissing yourself in the mirror. You're like liking your own Instagram selfies. Like you have to be so fully in love with yourself because we are a magnet. So if there's parts of you where you're rejecting yourself or you don't love yourself, work through that because nobody else can ever give to you what you're not willing to give to yourself. So how can you recognize how amazing you are? And the very fact that you want something, so the very fact that you want love, it means that you deserve it. So all you have to do is stop lying to yourself that you don't deserve it or you're not good enough and see how worthy you really are. Also too, living in a world where there's so many standards of like, you have to be zero, size zero and tall and blonde or like whatever. We have to remember that what we see on the magazine isn't the true epitome of love, right? Like there are people who are madly in love who are short, tall, black, white, you know, big, skinny, like whatever. Like if you're telling yourself like, oh, well, I have to lose 3 pounds and then someone's going to love me, that like, no, like actually it's so funny because I used to be really, really skinny when I met George and he thinks I'm way hotter now that I'm not. Now I'm pregnant. He thinks I'm really hot. Right. So, and like, you know, old paradigms would think like, oh, well, if you're pregnant, then people, whatever. Right. So remember that it's nothing external that people are going to love you for. It's like who you are. And so when you love you and you see the benefits of you and you are just like taking yourself on dates and having a love affair with yourself and wearing a pretty dress just because it makes you feel good, you become such a magnet for love. You walk in a room and people are just like, who is that with that energy? And you become such a magnet. So I think really falling in love with yourself is the first thing. And thinking about if I was dating X dream person, how would I feel? And allowing yourself to feel that way every day because your inside world creates your outside world. So don't allow an external circumstance to dictate how you feel. And don't, like, why would you let someone outside of you let you feel good? Like your opinion's more important. You're more important. So that's really important. But also it's making sure that we're releasing resistance around love. So the person that you love or that you could fall in love with might already be right in front of you, right? They might already be walking through the same WeWork that you work out of or at the coffee shop that you go to, but the timing hasn't aligned yet because you guys aren't at that right energetic match. And so if it's not part one of just feeling good, it's usually part two of you have some kind of belief that if I get love, blank. So when you're at home listening to your podcast, say to yourself, like, if I get love, blank, or if I get love, I'm afraid of blank, and see what comes up for you. And I'm willing to bet that there's something there. So if I fall in love, I'm not going to be financially successful. If I fall in love, they're just going to end up leaving me. If I fall in love, I'm going to get cheated on. If I fall in love, they're going to be the main star and I'm not going to, whatever, right? There's always some kind of belief that we picked up from our parents, or we picked up from a rom-com that we watched or something like that, that something's going to screw it up. And so what you have to do is work on your beliefs because the subconscious mind is aiming to keep you safe. And so if you think that when you get in love, something unsafe is going to happen, like you'll get cheated on or they'll dump you or whatever, you're not actually going to open yourself up to letting that even happen. And then I'd say step three too is taking the inspired action. So if you're walking down the street and universe says, go into this coffee shop, and you're like, oh, I can't go into this coffee shop, I'm late. Go into the freaking coffee shop because it's trying to set you up on a blind date and you need to listen to it, right? Taking that inspired action because the right person will be there at the right time. And it's kind of like doing the illogical, right? Because our little logical mind knows what logic we picked up from our, you know, 20, 30, 40 years on the planet, however old you are. But the universal intelligent is working with all, it's like has a GPS of where everyone is and who can line up perfectly and who's the right match. So it's working to line people up. And it might be that you went into the coffee shop, talked to the barista there, got your coffee, the barista called their friend that was around the corner, and then some guy starts walking down the street, and because you were 2 minutes later, you bump into him, you spill coffee all over your shirt, and then you start talking, and then 3 years later, you're married. You know what I mean? Like, it will randomly happen, and then when you look back, you're like, oh, that was all meant to happen.
I love that, and you know what I love the most was one of the first things you said is that it happens when it's for the greater good. When it's for
totally,
you know, you can't, because there's so many people, especially, you know, like in their 20s and they've gone through heartbreak and they're like, I want my ex back or I want this specific person. But I think that's such an important point is that you're a soul, they're a soul. What's best for your highest selves and also the world? Because what I see really strongly is when people, I see people in relationships that are coming together and the co-creative ability of manifestation, whether that's like manifesting a child or manifesting creative ventures, is huge as well. Not that you have to do that, but I do see that as well. When people really come together, it's like a swirling energy vortex that really can just produce so many amazing things.
Absolutely. And I love that you say that too, because just say you do happen to get into a relationship, but you haven't worked through your shit. You might not even notice it, but you're going to be the toxic person in that relationship. And like, if you haven't cleared out your belief that you're going to get cheated on, then you're going to be dating this person for 2 weeks and you're going to be like sneaking into their phone and going through their diary, and you're going to be toxic. And then because of that lack of trust, that person's probably going to be like, this person's a little crazy, I can't deal with this. And you'll end it anyway. But if you clear through your stuff, where you're at the point where, you know what, life is an experience and I like being in this person's energy and I'm just going to experience the funness of it, and I'm not attached to a certain outcome. I'm just attached to being my best self and allowing this person to be their best self. That's how you become so magnetic. The person can't imagine a day without you because they feel so good around you. If they feel like you're attacking them or accusing them, they're not going to feel good around you. And being in love is all about how you feel. So it's really, really important to work through that, because you definitely don't want to be the toxic one. And the best relationships are not when two codependent people come together and need each other and depend on each other, and they can't do life without each other. The best relationships, and that's how my relationship is with my husband, is we've both done our own work. We're both complete. And when we come together, we get to be complete together. Like, we're a dream team because I'm happy, he's happy. And when we're together, we're happy. But it's not like you make me happy. I know I'm responsible for my own happiness. And if I'm pissed off, it's not because of him. It's because I maybe need to work through something.
Beautiful. There's three steps for everyone, boom, 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 that we can do to, I guess, manifest anything really. Like you said, manifesting love is manifesting money, is manifesting everything. It's the same energy. Like, we just need to really, it's all about going inward and checking with ourselves of what's blocking us from being a magnet for that energetic vibration, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
Amazing. Well, there's just one more little thing. And I just want to ask, like, you're in the middle of Toronto and it's a busy city, and this is called Soul in the City. So I always like to ask people, like, apart from, you know, is there something that you do that really makes you stay connected to your soul? Like, it could, you know, because we're bombarded around us with, you're walking down the street, you're in the middle of the city, there's lots of stuff. You've got your own little beautiful oasis in the middle of the city, which is incredible. You can kind of escape to and create that energetic vibration. But is there something that, you know, that you do, or is it just like that morning practice that you put into place every day by, what did you call it, where you have the blank mind? I like
that. Yeah, checking my voicemails.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so I'm a real believer that how you start your day is going to dictate how the rest of the day goes. So my morning ritual is important for sure. And I change it up depending on what I need that day. I'm always checking my voicemails, but sometimes I'm visualizing, a lot of time I'm writing a gratitude list. If I have something I need to work through, I'm like, why do I feel X? Why do I feel anxious? Why do I feel this? Or I said something that was totally a limiting belief. I need to work through that. I actually pull out my Yes Supply manual and I work through with whatever technique I need to work through. That's so important. But I think the big thing that people forget is the universe isn't just listening when you do your 20-minute morning routine. The universe is listening all day and we're manifesting all day. So it's important to not just be at peace when you're on your meditation pillow, but use that to set the intention and the vibe for the rest of the day and hold on to that vibe the rest of the day. It's like setting your thermostat, essentially. And so I think the big thing that I do that allows me to stay connected to my soul is I really do keep an awareness of myself and my energetic vibration, because how we attract everything and anything into our life is the vibration that we're on, and we know what vibration we're on because of what we feel. So if I'm talking to someone and I don't feel so good, I don't let myself get too sucked into it. I bring myself to awareness of like, what's going on here? Is it this person's energy that's dragging me down? Is it something about them is triggering me that I need to work on later? And I have that awareness all through my day. I'm setting boundaries to not putting myself in situations that I know will bring me down. And as quickly as I can, while not spiritual bypassing, but as quickly as I can, doing whatever it is that I need to do, talking to myself, doing the journaling, doing the introspective work to get me into a place where I feel really good. And I don't mind having those conversations that I need to with myself to get there. So I think it's like honoring yourself and listening to yourself.
That's beautiful. You are such a beacon for people that want to like chase their dreams. And it really, essentially, it kind of comes down to your self-worth, right? Like, what do I believe that I'm worthy of? The infinite. Absolutely. Essentially, you're worthy of anything. Absolutely. That you want.
Yeah, we're bigger than all the physical things. So of course we can have it.
I love that. I love that so much. So if you're not following Reese on Insta, go get there, because obviously she gives so much free content to people, like so much. You like really do give a lot. And I think those people that have, you know, the bigger you get, it's like you're not afraid to give to people. You know how sometimes we can hold on. We're like, I don't want to give that. I want them to pay. It's like you give so much value and free content to people. And so that's actually a really example of not being attached to the outcome that someone's going to come back.
Yeah. Well, again, like how I started, I just wanted to share. And then, you know, this being able to be my business is an amazing side product. Like the fact I can make money is an amazing side product, but I'm here to share what I have to share and share what's channeling through me. And I respect, you know, all the information and tips that come through me from the universe. So yeah, it's not about, oh, well, if I tell them this, they're not going to hire me. It's more about like, I want what I've created. I want everyone to create this. I want a $1 million business to be normal. If you're a good person, you want to help people, that should be like, duh, absolutely. Of course you have that.
Amazing. So you can go check out Reese at Yes Supply everywhere. And yeah, just like wanted to say, I think you're amazing. Like I think that kind of thing happened with me when I found you. It's like, you just really quickly came onto my path and I was like, just felt an energetic resonance and was like, let's do this. Next minute I'm in Toronto at your new office that you manifested and here we are. And now we're talking on the podcast. So yeah, just want to say thanks for being here. I know you're really busy and I'm glad I got to have a little peek into your chart and to really like see, cause that's like such a personal thing. It's like someone's soul and kind of what they chose to come here and do. So it's really beautiful. So thanks for letting me have a little look and thank you for being here on Soul in the City.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a beautiful podcast and thank you so much for the reading. That was huge. So I will see you soon.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. You can join the party with me on Insta at Catherine_Gillies or check out my offerings at catherinegillies.com. And if you enjoyed the episode, make sure you hit subscribe and share the love by sending on the episode to any friends or fam who you think might enjoy it. You're the best.